coming tonight. I mean that. How many of you could have been anywhere in the world, but you came to the church on Wednesday night. Got your Bibles, hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank God, right kind. It'll count. Okay, open your Bible, please. The book of Matthew. In Matthew, boy, I've had great liberty to preach every night. In Matthew, please, chapter 27, find your place. In Matthew 27, we're going to start reading in verse 11. Matthew 27, verse 11. Everybody, find your place. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11. Got your place? Say amen. Amen. That's sort of pitiful.
Amen.
One man got his place. You know what I do, Brother Billy? Sometimes I'm almost honorier than Chris, or meaner than she is. Just sort of. About two or three nights up in the revival, I'll say, turn to Israel chapter 2. And I look at people, just, and they'll try to find Israel. Well, then I get them broke over that, and then I'll do it, and I'll say, about Thursday night, I say, well, turn to Jerusalem chapter 4. And you look at them, they're trying to find it. I know I'm awful, but I just do that. Okay. Matthew, please, chapter 27. Read with me, please, in your Bible, in verses 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, says, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Look in verse 13. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things that they witness against thee? He answered him never a word. Right. And insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Now watch this. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now watch. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas, that is the so-called religious crowd. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Look in verse 23. The governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Now, look at your next verse. Then answered A-double-L, all the people, and said, his blood be up on us and on our children. Let me read it to you again. They said, his blood be upon us and on our children. What in the name of heaven, what kind of people would be so demented that they would say, his blood be upon us and on our children? Father, I love you from the depths of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for the good song service tonight. God, you've been so good to us. Oh, my. May we ever, never fail, Lord, to praise you for your goodness toward us. The goodness of the Lord leadeth us to repentance. Help me tonight, oh, God, set a guard at my lips. And then, Lord, may I not say nothing that I'd be ashamed of when I stand before you. Help me tonight. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. My focus tonight and my interest is in verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Well, if you go through your Bible, three times Pilate's already said, I find no fault in this man. Now, what you need to get it fixed in your mind is Pilate, when they brought Jesus, they brought him there a pretense. Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. They brought him to Pilate, hoping that Pilate would... How many of y'all remember the Jews stoned people? Why didn't they stone Jesus? If he was guilty of death, then why didn't they just stone him? Well, the Jews abolished stoning. I realize that. It was a made-up mockery trial for the Lord Jesus to come. Now, I got to show you this. Go over to John, please, chapter 10 in your Bible. Keep your finger in Matthew 27, and I want you to go to John, please, chapter 10. My wife has read the Bible through in the last 6 weeks, and so she's provoked me, and Is this my water, Brother Billy?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let me get me a drink of water. I started to say, used to, we all drink out of the same dipper and the same gourd, and nobody died.
That's what we recycled.
Recycled? Ain't that pitiful? He recycled his water. How many of y'all remember, this is what I want you to see. Mary provoked my thinking this week. She read through from Genesis up until Malachi, and she kept asking me questions about the 12 tribes and, well, where did the other two tribes go? And then she got up to Zechariah and to Malachi. How many of y'all remember that from Malachi up until John the Baptist, there is 400 silent years that there's nothing. There's no voice, there's no preacher, there's no record from God. All we know is from Malachi, which ends in a curse, up until John the Baptist came. How did he come? He's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, amen. He comes to prepare the way. Now, John said, he says, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath that's going to come?" And the Bible says that John preached. Now, they didn't have no problem with John, but now I want you to go to John 10. Now, I want you to watch this. Here's what my wife asked me. I want you to watch this. Look in John chapter 10 and read, if you would. Let me read verse 29. Why don't you get me a drink of water? Doggone, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, verse 25, Jesus said, "My Father which gave him is greater than all. No man is able to pluck him out of my hand." Verse 30, "I and my Father are what?"
One.
Now, read the next verse right quick.
Why did
they want to stone the Son of God? He just said, "I and my Father are one." Now remember them silent years. Do y'all remember the silent years? The longer something's done, the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. So I told my wife, the Jews, they went right on with their religious services. I mean, their temple worship and their sacrificing. They made their garments. They wore their phylacteries. But what I want you to see, what got Jesus in trouble was when he says, "I and my Father are one." They could not stand that. They said, "He's blaspheming. Let's stone him to death." But when we get to Matthew 27, we find that they go into Pilate, and Pilate says, "I find no fault of him." And Pilate, now he's doing what the Romans want him to do. Not what, he's doing what the Jews want him to do, but that's not lawful. He goes ahead and he says, "I don't find no fault in this man." Now let me show you, back to Matthew please, hurriedly. Go back and look in your Bible. He says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see you to it." Hey, Brother Porter, would you bother a dead body? I wouldn't. How many of y'all would spit on somebody that I wouldn't? I would have felt sorry for Jesus. Let me tell you why. They'd already beat him. They'd already slapped him. Spit running down his body. Now he's in front of Pilate. Pilate washes his hand. He says, I find no fault in this just person. He had, and his wife already come and said, "Because of him, I've suffered many things in a dream because of him, of this just person." Did y'all see that? Pilate's probably burning in the charred regions of the damned. He rejected the Son of God over and over and over again, and washed his hands like this, and probably said, "I had a servant to send and give him a towel and dry his hands." He said, "I am done with this. I'm done with this." Now look down in verse 25. "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be upon us and on our children.'" All right, those are Jewish so-called religionists. What y'all about to pass out for? Religion will send you to hell.
Right.
Trying to comprehend everything, figure out everything. But when Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," that got to the Jews to the point of a boiling frenzy. He's putting himself equal with God. He says, "I and my Father are one," right or wrong?
Right.
Well, why didn't they do that to John the Baptist?
Right.
Why didn't they throw rocks at him? Hey, they was willing to accept John the Baptist, and he called them a generation of vipers. it was all right for him to be a forerunner, but not be equal with God. Amen. Jesus was all God. Hallelujah, thank God. He was God manifest in the flesh. You know what? I got a hold of this, Brother Biddy, and I ain't been the same. Hey, Brother James, out of 1,800 so-called seminary students were polled, and guess what they asked them? How essential is the virgin birth to salvation? What would you think they said? What would you think 1,800 seminary students said? 46% of them said that the virgin birth was non-essential to be saved. All right, here's what I want you to see. That means that 1,800 so-called seminary students will be behind some pulpit somewhere preaching that the virgin birth is non-essential. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen. He was all God, yet he was all man. But he came into this world to die and pay your sin debt. Glory. Y'all said he'll be run down tonight. Look back in your Bible. I want everybody to mark this down. I don't care if you don't ever remember my name. I want to show you where they said his blood be upon us and on our children. I want you to preach it. I'm going to use this subject on that. We are this cursed children. You know as well as I do, they said his blood be upon us and on our children. All right, let's talk a minute. I'm adopted into the family of God. I have really got royal blood flowing through my veins. All right. The Jewish people are under a curse. An individual Jew can be saved, but not the nation of Israel. If you go to Romans chapter 11, because they crucified the Lord Jesus, now I want you to watch this, listen. They said his blood be upon us and on our children. Have you ever wondered what's wrong? Have you ever wondered why every country on the face of the earth hates Israel, but outside of Britain and the United States? We're the only two allies they've got. Have you ever thought about it? There's 8,000 people in Israel. Have you ever wondered why that Iraq? Have you ever wondered why Egypt? Have you ever wondered why Syria, Lebanon, all these countries hate Israel? The Jews did not do anything. They're not the ones. They're always on the defense. It's always them lobbing missiles in. The Jew is not the problem. Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. It says his blood be upon us and on our children. A lot of people think that if we could annihilate the Jew and get rid of the Jew, why in the name of heaven did Hitler kill 6 million little Jews? They're trying to annihilate the Jewish population. The whole country of Israel is not big, it's not as big as hardly as New Jersey. Have you ever thought about it? They're totally surrounded by enemies. Totally surrounded by them. But look at the country. My wife and I have been there. Some of y'all have been there. When we went to Israel, the desert is blooming. I'm telling you before God, we're getting ready for the Gilead exit this world. Woo! It's talking about Netanyahu. You better hope and pray while we still got breath in our body that America doesn't turn against Israel, because every country that turns against Israel, God turns against them. People don't like it, but I'm just telling you like it is. They said his blood be upon us and on our children. Now watch this. I got to show you this. I want you to write this on the fly of your Bible. Look down, if you would, in verse 25. All of the people said his blood be upon us and on our children. I got to thinking on May 14, 1948, when Israel was established as a nation. I got to thinking about how these 8,000 million Jews, probably a little bit more than that now. But I want you to know tonight that we are the family, the Jewish family. His blood be upon us and on our children. What kind of an individual would do that? What kind of a person would say, his blood not be on us, but on our children too? Boy, yet that's vehement hate.
Yes, it is.
I got to quit watching so much news. I never seen so much junk going on in my life. Do y'all know what you told me this tonight at supper? Do you know the reason why that 17-year-old stabbed the 18-year-old boy? Young people, look up at me. Y'all want to know why they had a stabbing over here? You want to know? Over dipping. Getting a dip of snuff. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with people? What people need is a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord of God, with the Son of God. I'm saying people, God, the Holy Ghost can change your hearts. Amen. You can educate them. You can give them a perfect environment. But what people need is Christ in their heart and soul. Say amen.
Yes, amen.
All right. If that be so, then that we can change everything by not majoring on the secondaries or the thirds. But I'm talking about winning people to Christ, changing them for the glory of God. And listen to this. A personal, intimate relationship with the Son of God will change the temperature of America.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
We've dropped the ball. We have dropped the ball.
Right.
We're talking about all this stuff going on in high schools. Kids killing each other. Amen, Sisson. What is wrong with us, Brother Sisson? If I know anything's in Psalm 78, did you know that we're commanded to teach our children?
Right.
Did you know the Bible tells us, but they said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Brother Sisson, is there a curse upon the families? Brother, I'm telling you before God, we've dropped the ball. How many of y'all had old-fashioned parents? I'm not looking. How many of y'all ever had a whooping? Yours didn't take.
Let me count the ways.
Okay, but when we were growed up, when we were growing up, how many of you remember what it was like when your grandpa or dad or whoever, your mom said, "What time? Where are you going? What time will you be back?" And then if you wasn't back at that time, they'd come looking for you and take a limb or a belt and wear you all the way home. Right or wrong? Okay. Look at us today. They don't respect older people. Why is that, Brother Sisson? If one thing, it's not been taught them. They if they don't respect older people, they're not going to respect any authority. Not any kind of authority. And that filters over into the schools. My daughter's a school teacher. You ought to get her to tell you some of the things that they're facing. But what I'm saying is tonight, if you look in Matthew 27, verse 25, they said, His blood be upon us and on our children. I fail miserably as a dad. I want to be the best dad. I literally want to be the best grandpa I can be. Boy, I love that little old grandboy. Oh, don't do that. Yes. If he wants that street rod, I'll give it to him. If he wants a farm, I'm going to come and borrow the money from you. But what I'm saying tonight, I fail as a father. I fail as a grandparent. But I want to be better. Say amen. I desire to be better. But I'm saying we have dropped the ball in communicating. And this thing about discipline, did you know the Bible says I'm not for child abuse, but I'm for the right kind of biblical correction. Train up a child when he's young and he'll not depart from him when he grows old. Did you know the Bible says the rod of correction shall drive it far from him?
Right. Yep.
Amen, Brother Sisson. Well, look at Israel. They said, His blood be upon us and on our children. They didn't care that the curse was going to be handed down not only to them, but even to their children.
Yeah.
Let's be honest tonight. We're at Wednesday night. It's what I call the backbone of the church. Amen. Brother, our kids need to find out and know a lot about the intimacy of the Lord. They need to realize that the Bible, I heard this song the other day, and I thought if I live, I'm going to use that for a subject. On what is important to me. The Bible's important to me. The church is important to me. Say amen. We need to be conveying these things to our children and grandchildren. Amen, sister. What really is important to us? Well, Israel said, or they, that bunch of religious crowd, they said His blood be upon us and on our children. Well, I got to thinking, there's a curse. Now, what do you mean by His blood be upon us and on our children? Hey, I realize and understand, about the time you learn how to live, it's time to die.
Yeah, that's right.
About the time you have four kids, you have the first one, you don't have no experience at all.
Right. Yeah.
Then you have another one, you have a little bit more experience than you have with the first one. When you get down to the third one, Stuart, you just drop all the ball. When you have that third child, you just give them anything they want. Say amen, Brother Biddy. No, it don't work that way. That's what my kids, they come home now and they accuse me and Mary. They said, Mom, you wouldn't let us get by with that. Y'all ever heard that yet?
Yeah.
Dad, you wouldn't let me, you'd slap my head off. When you get way down the line, you sort of let up a little. Could be you got a little bit more sense, right, Brother Biddy? But I want you to watch this. Write this down, please, if you would, please. At verse 25, His blood be upon us and on our children. All right, Israel, now watch it. Boy, I got to think about that family. I was in Williamsburg, Ohio, in revival. And this preacher that I was helping in revival, they didn't have a building. They had a nice building that they had bought. So we went out to wire the building and refix the building. And it was going to have services later on in the week. Well, we got it all wired, and boy, it was hot that day. I mean, it was 100-plus degrees in that building, no air conditioning. Well, I was waiting on the electric to come and hang the meter. So he went on to what he had to do, and I was standing out there waiting, so I was fooling around, went in the back at this old cemetery. And I got to moving that grass around, and I looked down at this old, old headstone. Here's what it said. The kindest man I ever knew, my father. Boy, that got a hold of me, Brother Billy. I thought, I wish that could be said about me. The kindest man I ever knew was my father. Did you get that? Did that resonate with y'all? The kindest man I ever knew, my father. Hey, that can't always be said about me. I try to be kind and I'd like to be understanding, but I want you to listen to me. Boy, we need a revival to where the family is first. Yes. Did you know God instituted the home before he instituted the church? Yes. Well, our emphasis today, I mean, I'm a church man, sole of my feet. But brother, our homes are so fragmented. Amen, sister. Yes. How would you like to be that 18-year-old boy that they charged today, just a little while ago, for stabbing that boy? Right. How would you like to have to go tomorrow to visit him in jail? I venture to say, dads or moms going to say, well, somewhere I've dropped the ball. Somewhere I've failed. I wish I'd have took him to church more. I wish I'd have told him more about the Lord. Hey, that's all of us. I'm telling you tonight, the curse can be lifted. Amen. Right. It's on us and on our children. Now watch this. I got to show you. Not only the family, and I ain't preaching yet. Well, look down in your Bible and look what it says. His blood be upon us. And I got to thinking about the foolishness of it. Anybody outside of me ever done anything real foolish? Am I the only one? I mean done something real foolish. My grandpa used to tell me, let me back up to what my mama used to say, and I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Mama used to say, when you get 40, your life speeds up. Y'all ever heard that? When you get 40, it seems like your life speeds up. That's what my mom said. That's the dumbest thing Mama I've ever heard in my life. That was when I was about 19. But when you hit 40, it seems like your life accelerates. Right. Say amen, do this or something. Amen. It seems like that. Yes. I don't think it does, but it seems like it does. I'm talking about when you get around 40, I got to thinking about what my mother said and what my grandpa used to tell me. He said, about the time you learn how to live, son, it's time to die. Right. Well, I've done some foolish things, amen. Sometimes I go over to Crab Orchard to preach, and they'll come and to hear me preach, and they'll say, you was the meanest kid. I'm going to check your history out. I bet it'd be a sight to behold. But listen to this, Brother Billy. 50-some years of my life, I've not been at Crab Orchard. I know what I was back then. I realized what I done a lot of foolish things. Amen. Says, and y'all nod your head or something. Foolish things I done. I got involved in foolish things. Amen, preacher, sister. I was young and I didn't have nobody to instruct me, nobody to help me with my. I was a drunk. Now listen to me for a moment. I didn't really have nobody to build any kind of truths in my life. Are y'all listening? My granddad was really my mentor in my life. He taught me yes, no, yes, no. My stepdad, yes, no, 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 no. I left home when I was about 11 years old, but that ain't the point. What I'm saying is, I've done a lot of foolish things, amen. And for a man to say, his blood be upon us and on our children, that's foolish, amen. But I don't think we do any, we do the same thing. They see us giving over to overtime. They see what really is important in our life. They see what's number one in our life. Ask my wife. I'd work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. I mean, get off a half a day, maybe on Saturday, come home, then work on a car. The only time she'd get to talk to me as I was sitting out there, she'd have to get a lawn chair and sit down beside me and be working on a car. Look at y'all's faces. At least I can be honest. But I'm talking about my children. You know, all that time was coming up underneath my feet. I'm talking about I've done a lot of foolish things. I got saved when I was 19. And we got in a good Bible, believing Bible preaching church. Amen, sister. And started building truths into our life. I'm not talking about just religion, but I'm talking about truths. All right. Fortunately, a lot of things have been reversed. Now, I've got to show you this. Not only the family, but then the foolishness of it. He said his blood be upon us and on our children. So I got to thinking. I thought about the finality of it. His blood be upon us and on our children. All right, now the spit's running down his body. They've slapped him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They've took the robe off. They put the robe back on. You would think that anybody would have empathy for that kind of a person. You'd think they would. Then why in the name of heaven did they cry, it says all, A-L-L, all of them said his blood be upon us and on our children. Folks, please listen to me tonight. Please listen to me. Sin is running rampant like I've never seen anything like it in my life. Everybody says, Brother Sisson, it's not as bad as you proclaim it. It's worse than what I can proclaim it. Sin is running rampant in this country. I mean, listen, our churches, we're falling apart from within. And what is it going to be like for these young people that's all over this auditorium? What is it going to be like in the year 2020? That's just a year down the road. What is it going to be? Brother James, I told him here last night, there's three churches that I personally know of that have shut their doors here in this county. Wow. Jess, if you and Hope ever have a child, and I was kidding Hope, I said, can you imagine a little miniature Jess, beard and all? But this is my thinking now, this is my reason. What is it going to be like for our children? What is our churches going to be like? What kind of preachers are we going to have to listen to? Wonder what kind of Bibles they'll read out of. Don't y'all ever get tore up like that? His blood be upon us and on our... They didn't care about the curse. In fact, they even asked for it. They said, his blood be upon us. Hey, Billy, when men shave... If we get a drop of blood, do you immediately take something to dry it up on your face? Most of the time, don't you? Just a drop of blood, any kind of drop. They said his blood be upon us and on our children. Did y'all see it? Brother Sisson, we ain't had a real moving of God since television came into existence. I'm real ultra old school. How many of y'all remember the Grand Ole Opry? I remember when I was a little boy, Brother Billy, we'd sit out on a porch, get done eating, and we'd all had a battery-operated radio. I bet Porter don't remember this. a radio that you had a battery. We didn't have electric in the house. We had kerosene lamps. And we had a battery, but you had a rod that went out the window, and you had a stake down, that was a ground rod. And what we would do, we'd tune that in, and we'd listen to Grand Ole Opry. And I'd think, how can they get all them people in that box? I was just a kid. But I mean, that's what we would listen to is the Grand Ole Opry. Now, listen to what they have to listen to. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Honestly, before God, what was that radio program? I get aggravated. Maybe y'all don't. At some of the lyrics of these words of these songs. And they don't even care if they're biblical. I'm in churches all the time, but they don't care if they're biblical, as long as they rhyme. Music ought to be something to soothe your soul and your spirit. And there ought to be a connecting in there. Amen, sister. There'll not be no war like this. Then I don't know why in the name of heaven people listen to that trash. Now I got to show you this. Now won't you watch? Let's go back. Won't you write them down? Verse 25. Not only the finality of it, then the foolishness of it, and the family of it, but I want you to watch this according to Zechariah chapter 12. Now, if you'll turn back there right quick and let me read it to you. This they said his blood be upon us and on our children, but Zechariah chapter 12, and read verse 10 with me, please. Everybody, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace. All right, now what? I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. The curse is going to be lifted. Yes. Let me say it again. The curse is going to be lifted.
Right.
Israel, at this right now, at this very moment, how many of you have ever witnessed to a Jew? You ever witnessed to a Jew? I was in Israel, my wife and I had a little pocket New Testament, and I didn't know what I was doing was wrong. We was in the middle of a hotel, and this commando come up to me, and he said, "What are you doing?" He could speak real fluent English. All I was doing, I had this little pocket New Testament, and I was trying to show this young boy what the Bible said. Well, it's against the law in Israel. They thought I was trying to proselyte. Well, I was, really. Trying to win him from Judaism to Christianity. But I didn't know it was against the law. He said, "You know, we can lock you up." I said, "No, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong." So he said, just go ahead and put your New Testament up. So anyway, I went ahead, finished up my conversation, told this young boy, I said, "If you ever come to the States, I give him my phone number." I said, "Look me up." And when I got ready to leave, I give him my pocket New Testament. It's a marked edition. You'll get that in a minute. In all my years, I have never won a Jew to the Lord. In all my years, I've never won a Jew to the Lord. I've witnessed to them. I've tried to win them to the Lord, but I've never personally won a Jewish person. Have you? Have you, Brother James? You ain't never won a Jew. I haven't either. I've never won a Church of Christ either. I've seen one get saved, but I've never only one. But my point is, listen to this. The Jewish nation as a whole, the Jewish nation, individually they can be saved. But the Jewish nation is blinded. Are y'all listening to me? They got spiritual cataracts on their eyes for rejecting the Son of God. Here in Zechariah, he says, look in your Bible, that spirit of grace. Thank God, one day the Jew is going to recognize Jesus as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Whoopee! Thank God. Hey, they're going to know that he is the King of Kings.
Yes.
That personally right now, every nation upon the face of the earth would love to annihilate the Jew. Tell me why that is. Why is that curse still effective? And the curse has not been lifted. They crucified the Son of God. Amen, preacher. And they said his blood be upon us and on our children. All right. If I have any sense at all, and I don't have a lot, God visits to the third and fourth generation. What I do affects my children, what his children, and his children, and his children, to four generations. Oh, preacher. I'm telling you before God, according to Zechariah 10, the curse is going to be lifted. Boy, I long for that day. Right now, the rapture could occur, every saved person is going to exit this world. It don't make no difference what I say, it's what this book said. That's called the rapture, all right? Immediately after the rapture, we're caught up. Amen, sister. But immediately after, as we go up, the Antichrist walks on the scene. Everybody readily agrees that something climatically has got to happen for that event to happen. Is it going to be a race war? Is it going to be fighting ISIS? You know what they showed this week? This bothers me too. In Dearborn, Michigan, they was flying ISIS flags all over Dearborn, Michigan. That bothers me. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that something climatically has got to happen, either right prior to the rapture or immediately after the rapture. Everybody says, well, after the rapture, all right. But listen to me for a moment. Watch this. As we go up, the Antichrist comes down. Is it going to be, America has to be dissolved. Everybody agrees with that, either right prior to it or immediately after. And brother, America's falling apart as I speak. Everything's getting in order for this event to happen. Now I got to show you. Go back to Matthew 27. His blood be upon us and our children. Ain't that awful? His blood. Why did they say that? Why did they say his blood? Was he already bleeding, Brother Billy? For the Jew, they understood the blood. They understood, religiously, they understood the blood. They didn't understand that he was the Son of God. But what made them say his blood? Was he in a frenzy? Just a frenzy. Did you know they tell me, my grandpa used to tell me, if you go out Highway 39 right before you go to Crab Orchard, they had a place up there, they called it the Hanging Tree. used to scare me to death. It's just a gravel road. 39 was a gravel road. I used to go out that little road and I'd be terrified. I was just a kid, and they called it a hanging tree. That grandpa said that's where they used to hang people in the 1880s. Did you know used to they had public hangings? You might ought to go back to that now. Stop some of this stuff. Say amen. But what I'm saying is people used to get in a frenzy. And I mean, they didn't care what the law said. They're just going to hang them. Well, this crowd here in Matthew 27 was in such a frenzy. They said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Pilate already said, I find no fault in the man. And then he even called Jesus a just man. And they still wanted to, that curse be upon them and on their children. Boy, I don't know. Boy, I tell you the truth. I wish I could speak so plain that people would want a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Young people, he's the answer to every problem you'll ever have.
Amen.
He's the answer to every problem you'll ever have. But you must know him. Are you listening to me? You must know him. And if you know him, look at me for a moment. I'm a church man, but baptism can't save you. Joining a church can't save you. You can quit all your cussing, drinking, dipping, chewing, whatever else. And you can quit all your bad deeds. What if you quit? How do you know that you've done enough? I wish somebody explained that to me. If it's a matter of just living good, how do you know when you've done enough good? Hey, it's all a grace. You say, Brother Sisson, I don't understand it all, but I know one thing: God can save you. I know something else: you can enjoy being saved. Man, I was in there using my lawnmower today, and I got to thinking, I do crazy things. I know I do. There's another one that does them. I got one of them zero turns, but it's not to handle things because of my pacemaker. But I got to mowing grass today, Porter, and I'm telling you the truth, I got to flying. Y'all ever do that? I was pushing that thing as hard as it could go. Man, it was hitting bumps like this. Y'all seen me. I thought, I bet people saying, what in the world's wrong with that crazy man? But I got to thinking about what happened last night, just the services. I did. I know I'm crazy, but I get thinking like that. I relive it. Yeah. I don't turn it off. And I about got airborne on that lawnmower. I put a big scalp in the grass. But I'm just saying I get happy in the Lord. I don't have to be in church house to get happy. Yeah. Now, question. How many of you can say that's the most repulsive thing? They said, his blood be upon us and on our children. You agree with that?
Yeah, right.
Foolish. Do y'all agree?
Right.
Foolish. All right. Here's what I can't get over. It said, his blood be upon us and on our children. Why did they say that, Brother Billy? Why would they make such a foolish statement to be upon their children too? Hatred? And animosity?
Sure.
Envy? When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, that flipped the switch in them, boy. They hated him.
Yeah.
Crucify him! Crucify him! Boy, folks, I'm telling you, you better be glad. Thank God he didn't come off that cross.
Right.
I bless his wonderful name. Boy, I enjoy being saved.
Yes, amen.
Knowing I've been forgiven. Whoopee! Knowing I'm not going to be here during the great tribulation.
Amen.
Thank God. Glory! Hey, Brother Porter, let's stand if I would. This is Wednesday night. Could I ask you tonight, and you'd say, Brother Sisson, I understand, I really truly understand that it's the blood of Christ. There's no other way a man can be saved other than the blood of Christ. Would you raise your hand? I mean, you truly understand that it's the blood. That's the only way you're going to escape hell is the blood of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Now, could I ask you something tonight? If the blood's not been applied, you need to get out of your seat and come and let Brother Billy, let myself, let Brother James, somebody help you. Don't leave here lost. Look at me for a moment before we pray. When they said his blood be upon us and on our children, how many of y'all think that that religious crowd ever came to the saving knowledge of Christ?
No.
None of them. So that means they're in the charred regions of the damned. Dear God, that bothers me. Father, I love you. Help us tonight, Lord. God, just seeing, Lord, these words, his blood be upon us and on our children. God, I think about my children, and I think about my great-grandchildren. Oh, dear God, I want to emulate and be like Christ, and God, forgive me, Lord, my foolishness. Boy, I'm so glad you save and forgive. Thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice tonight. Help the young people to see that one day the curse is going to be lifted. Lord, we've all done some foolish things, but I'm so glad his blood cleanses us from all sin. Please bless the invitation tonight. Speak to people's hearts. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.